Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello and welcome to Pulse of the Nation here on FUBAR Radio. We've got another jam-packed show for you this week, deep diving into all the stories you may have missed, the stories you can't avoid, and some other little exciting dalliances, I guess. I don't know, I've gone very sort of camp and floral very early doors at this show. We've got the brilliant Sharon Wanjoey joining me in the studio as my co-host today. We'll have Finlay Christie, a rising star comedian, as our guest, and we have a very exciting mystery guest who probably one of the most memed men across the entire internet, so we'll have to stay tuned in and see who that is. We've got Sharon guessing who will be joining me, but in the meantime we're going to start, as we do every week, with a little deep dive into what's been troubling the headlines, what's been sort of going under the radar, and indeed massive. We're starting with Donald Trump, the unavoidable. What a time to start a news comedy show. It's our fourth show and third week of Trump's presidency. It really is a great timing coincidence. I'd love to have a week without American headlines, but he delivers again and again. This week, Trump blamed a tragic plane crash in Washington on diversity policies, which might sound crazy, but hang on, new direction for the nation. I actually think there is historical precedent for DEI causing disasters. The Titanic, for example. The Titanic, she, ships are women, as God intended, she crashed into an iceberg of which gender? Exactly. Unknown, the iceberg was non-binary and sunk a God's honest AFAB, assigned floating at birth, woman ship. And it's not just gender. The Deep Horizon oil spill, cast your mind back to then. It was actually caused by a dyspraxic diversity hire. Yes, it wasn't the catastrophic failure of a drilling infrastructure. It was a literal spill by a disabled worker. And as if that wokeism wasn't bad enough, the lefties then tried to cancel the oil sudden pelicans for blacking up. Plus, don't get me started on Chernobyl. Three words. ADHD, pansexual, Muslim. Need I say more? No, I'm obviously being silly, but I must share my favourite response to Trump's response. I told my mum that he was blaming the crash on diversity, and she said, "What? Ashley Banjo?" So there you go. If that doesn't cheer you up from the dread of Trump's premiership, take heart that people are starting to fight back. We're 3 weeks in, and we are starting to see a federal pushback, starting with all groups. The national parks, yes, of all people, the national parks, in response to federal funding cuts, have set up an alternative park service webpage called ourparks.org. I just love that the park rangers' top enemies are now litterers, bears having picnics, and the leader of the free world. I mean, what a mission statement. In a statement on ourparks.org, addressed to the president, ourparks promised they would not be silenced in fighting the erosion of environmental protections, safeguarding parks for future generations, and cracking down on disposable barbecues. And over in Michigan, there has been a win for LGBT plus rights. Although Trump's executive orders might have eroded some of our rights over in the US, Michigan is fighting back as a judge has blocked a block of a conversion therapy ban. I appreciate that's lots of double negatives, but I promise it's good. Federal Judge Jane Beckering has stopped anti-gay activists, stopping pro-gay activists, stopping anti-gay activists, stopping gay people being gay. And for me, it's great that the ban is going ahead, because conversion therapy is a nonsense. There is no scientific basis. Never mind the moral fact that you shouldn't try conversion therapy. It doesn't make sense. It's all crystals and bullshit. It's basically homoeopathy, right? And I know conversion therapy doesn't work, because one of the most popular conversion therapy camps, ironically named, obviously, camp, yeah. One of the most popular conversion therapy camps in America, I watched a documentary. It is a two-week-long program. They all share a room for the week. Now, look, I don't want to insinuate too much, but my one hope is that if they do get caught, they adopt a parenting tactic of making them smoke the whole packet. Oh, you like sucking cock, do you? Well, you're not leaving this room until all of these cocks have been sucked. That's my only hope for their bedding situation. But my favourite thing about this two-week-long course is that at the end of the fortnight, I shit you not, they put on a musical. It is the gayest thing I have ever seen in my life. That genuinely, they've got going for the tap dance the gay away. That's their thought process. I watched a documentary. At the end of the 2 weeks, they put on a production of Peter Pan. Peter Pan! Peter Pan does not work as a conversion therapy musical. Number one, Captain Hook is definitely hooking up with Smee, which is quite a reach round if you think about it. Don't picture it too much. But number two, with the conversion therapy production of Peter Pan, how do you write around the climactic scene where everybody has to chant, I do believe in fairies. I do. Surely that's antithetical to the conversion therapy message. But moving away from the serious to the ridiculous, I know the Daily Mail got a lot of flack last week with me and Charlie Dinkin, but we got a pretty hot sort of news-breaking headline here from the Daily Mail. This was the 2nd of February. Scientists reveal who wrote the Bible and say it probably wasn't God. Well, I don't even think I need to comment. I'm just going to leave that headline as is. Although my favourite is just underneath the headline. It says, read more. How tall was Goliath? Scientists reveal height of the biblical giant. I don't think these are real scientists, but there we go. That's what the Daily Mail have gone with. In more sort of British skewed news, the Slimming World founder, Margaret Miles Bramwell, sadly died on Sunday. Tragic, of course, and thoughts to her family. But on the upside, after a cremation, she was awarded Slimmer of the Week. And over in Taunton, our second visit to Taunton after being the charity shop cat last week, the KFC in Taunton is celebrating Pauline Richards, who has just hit 47 years of service to the chicken brand. She's been working there since her 20s, and she's now 74. That is remarkable. She's a beloved figure around Taunton. Customers affectionately call her Mum, Auntie, and Granny Chicken. Although I say affectionately, given the inbreeding in Somerset, they're probably just hedging their bets. And finally, our weekly parking story, just to end with some unbridled fury, as I always do. Dorset Council, one close to my heart, my Dorset Council, probably my hometown council, has voted to scrap free evening parking in favour of 24/7 charges. Now, let me say, no parking restriction should go past 7. In Soho Square, London's glittering West End, the nation's capital, street parking is free from 6:30. Do you think you're better than Soho, Blandford Forum? Do you think Yeovil compares to Les Miserables, to the Magic Mike Experience, to M&M World? No, not a chance. Look, I say this sincerely, if the moon is out, parking should be free, right? That is my manifesto, my platform for political success, lunar parking restrictions. And of course, nothing on Sundays. God rested on the seventh day. He did not just play and display. A slightly more biblical opening than I was hoping, but you know, this show takes us in all sorts of directions, and for now it takes us the direction of my brilliant co-host Cheryl Wanjohi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good. You jumped in before I could even say how are you.
Had to. Very well, alive, and sometimes that's all we can ask for.
Oh really, it is the absolute most we should strive for in many occasions.
Thank you. We work
and yeah, I'm glad to see you. But you're not just alive, you're thriving. You look fantastic.
Stop.
This is such a gorgeous outfit wasted on a radio medium.
Oh my god, stop it right now. There's you, everything coming from you.
Oh, this is, I think, are we just gonna flirt for the whole radio show?
We might have to get married after this, actually.
Yeah, I think maybe on, if we could do it on air, that'd be great for views.
Okay,
actually.
Okay, done.
Yeah, fantastic. You are, I would consider you probably up there as one of the most fashionable comedians on the circuit.
Wait, are you lying right
now? 100%. You and a previous guest, Pravanya Pillay, are always just immaculately dressed.
Your fits, though, every time I see you, I'm like, I want that, and I want that, and I want that, and I want that.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. I do. I must say, when I know I'm going to gig with you or see you, I'm like, I can't let this side down. I think we ran into you once randomly in Camden, you with Abby,
yes,
and I was like,
so
oh God, I hope I'm okay.
Oh my God, I was like, cardigan, I want it. I need it now.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me. Oh, this is as much as we can talk about the Grammys outfits, and if that's caught your eye, it is broadly a news topical show. Quotation marks, very heavy there. Are you a newsy person?
I try to be.
Yeah.
But I'm not the best at it. I love a bit of like a gossip. You know, like those early 2000s magazines. That's kind of like my version of
that's
the news.
That's good stuff. The take breaks of like random people that you have no idea who they are. It's like my brother's sister's dog's ghost caught me cheating.
Ate a dolphin. My husband was somehow. Oh my God, that's so scandalous. I miss that era.
Yeah, that is the top quality stuff. I'm pretty sure they were all made up, but I love them anyway.
The entertainment. Yeah. Yes.
Has there been any good gossip recently? Has anything caught your eye in the
just
news?
Just in general, like in the celebrity world?
Yeah. Unless you want to share personal gossip about housemates or whatever.
Oh my God, so much, but I won't. I'll get in so much trouble. The whole like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh yes, just, that's really blowing up.
Oh, it's so much. I don't know who any of those people are.
No, this is my main problem with, especially hosting a news show, with any sort of celebrity news. I just like, I have no idea who that person is. Kieran suggested we do a Grammy sort of runway look, but 90% of it would be being like, who is that?
Who is that? Yeah, oh yeah. My God, I had the exact same thing when I watched the Grammys, and I've never felt more old in my life.
Surely we're young people.
I know.
Not to brag, we are young people. We should be on top of this stuff, but I have no idea who any of them are.
They're like, and the next presenter is... And everyone's like, whoa! And I was like, who? Who? You go on the Instagram and they have like 10 million followers and you're like, oh, it's just me.
No, but I don't think it's just you. I think it's America. America is just so huge that they invent a celebrity culture that we're just like not even privy to. Okay. Unless you're so massive like Taylor Swift
that
you
so
sort of surpass it, yeah. So I think I'm letting you off the hook.
Thank you.
Yeah, unless you also don't know any British celebrities.
No, I know my British celebrities.
But British celebrities are very lame compared to like, you know, like Grammy winning rap artists like Doechii and like Taylor Swift, like the biggest touring artist ever. And we've got like Janet Street Porter.
Peter Andre.
Have you heard the Peter Andre, Katie Price, Whole New World duet?
No.
Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. I don't know if we're allowed to play it on the radio, but it's Peter Andre and Katie Price absolutely butchering Aladdin Disney classic, A Whole New World. It's really good.
I'm walking down the aisle to that.
That recording specifically.
Yes.
Well, they are to me at the end of this radio show, of course, when we get married.
Oh my God.
My dad once ran a half marathon, clang, brag. only a half one. But it was a Silverstone half marathon, and Katie Price was running it as well. And so I was like, oh, hey, Katie, give us a wave. She gave us a wave. She was very like upbeat for the first like 10 minutes of the marathon. And then she really, really struggled. Oh. And at the end of it, she crossed the line and the race DJ played Mysterious Girl. By Peter Andre.
That is so cruel.
That is really harsh,
isn't
it?
That's really nasty. Oh my God.
Yeah. So I feel Katie Price in that regard.
I love her. I know she's a problematic queen, but it's just peak British campness.
It is. Yeah. It is. I think camp is the right word. People gloss over all this sort of celeb culture as like vacuous or whatever, but no, it's camp.
It's camp.
You just gotta buy into the silliness of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I do
have a news story that I thought you might find interesting.
Please.
About a virgin birth.
Hello.
Yes, but not a Christmassy one. a marine virgin birth.
Oh.
A virgin birth of a swell shark in an all-female tank in Louisiana. So these are sharks in captivity in Louisiana. It's all women.
Oh my God.
All female sharks.
Slay.
And one of them had a baby.
Oh my God.
And I wanted to ask you, as a representative of the community,
please.
Is this the next step in lesbian domination?
Yes, I've been campaigning for procreation for lesbians for the longest time. Biology needs to catch up to what the world is today, and I love that it's happening in the marine world. I feel like we're going to be influenced by that.
First sharks, next
humans, yeah.
It's over. Once we close the wage gap. And
that is it.
And
goodbye,
lesbian relationships
forever.
Are financially viable. That's
gagged. That was shady as hell.
That was very shady.
Yes.
But it'll happen. And once you're in that path, it'll move quickly.
I like to think that if two women could have babies, they would both get pregnant at the same time. Do you know what I mean? It wouldn't be one person carrying, it'd be both of them.
So they'd have, each would have half of a baby?
Maybe, and then when they, actually I haven't really thought that one.
No, I like it. Or you could do like when seahorses, like one of them has the egg and then the male seahorse
carries
the baby.
It. Oh, why
so I suppose you
that?
Could, yeah, I suppose
we
you could
make
sort
it
of
work.
Tag team it, yeah.
Yeah.
Little sort of
take
baton.
Take turns, I take months 1 to 3 and you take the rest.
The hard ones,
the hard ones.
I'll have it when I'm not showing. And as soon as there's a bump, you're like, okay, this is yours now. Yeah.
Some new babes.
Nice. And what have you been up to? You've got a work in progress on the 27th of March.
I do.
The Pleasance Theatre right next door.
Le Plaisance.
So oh, there we go.
Yeah,
that is fancy.
I'm making it French. I'm trying to make it fancy. I'm so excited. I'm scared. Do you have any advice?
Is it your first full hour?
It's my first. I've done an hour before, but this one feels serious.
Like, yeah, it's your statement show.
Yes, exactly.
Do I have any advice? I mean, just, it's so stupid just to say, like, oh, enjoy it. But like, genuinely, it's so much stress and pressure to, the debut culture. You just have to remember it doesn't actually really matter. And you've got great representation and you are very talented. And I just think you're going to have a great future, whatever. So don't worry about like awards or reviews. Just like go like, oh, I want to make this show.
Right. Okay.
That's my advice.
Thank you. I needed to hear that.
Good.
You're
glad.
I'm so excited.
And what's about? Do you have any sort of inkling of what it might be?
Just, I think growing up. So I just turned 27 and I am freaking out about it. Not even in like I'm getting old way, but like a what now? I don't know.
Yeah. What?
Disney life.
It is very exciting. And this was what a weird sort of time for us to be blooming into, like geopolitically.
So much is happening in the world and it just feels like I feel like the older generation don't really understand that we have to still exist at the same time. I mean, they had their turmoils back in the day, but they also had housing for like £5.50.
Yeah, do you know
what I mean? So we're having to deal with that on top of like not having houses or, you know, just too much brain noise.
It's a lot. And so I'm going to unpick it all on the 27th of March at the Plaisance.
Yes,
at Le Lovely Plaisance. Stuff. Well, go check out tickets. Go follow Sharon at Sharon1Joey_.
Yes.
Lovely stuff. And yeah, get tickets from there. We're going to head into a break, but we'll be right back with a mystery guest. Ooh.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Joining me and co-host Sharon Wanjoey in the studio, we have Simon. Hello, Simon.
Hi.
Hello, bro. How are you, mate?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're very grateful to have you here. Now, Sharon, my guest, doesn't know who you are, although she may have recognised you. So she's going to ask you a couple of questions to ascertain why you are notable. So, Sharon, whenever you're ready.
I'm trying to figure out, because I've seen this face before. Where are you from, country-wise?
I am from Uganda.
Okay.
Greetings from Uganda.
Okay, yes. Okay. That's narrowing it down. Are you famous for a meme?
I'm not pretty sure. Maybe I am.
Maybe.
Very coy. Oh.
What are your thoughts on gay people?
They need redirection.
I had no idea which direction we were going to go in, Simon, but we've jumped straight into it. I guess all that remains to ask is...
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay. You are a transgender.
What shows that I'm gay?
You are a transgender,
yes,
and you're a gay rights activist and an outspoken lesbian, homosexual. How can I describe you?
Yes, this is Simon Kagwanjula, the Ugandan journalist, famous for the famous Why Are You Gay interview with Pepe Julian Onzima. Now, Simon, this blew up to millions and millions of viewers. You're one of the most famous memes in the world. What was your reaction when that started going viral?
Initially, I was really surprised because I thought I was tackling a subject that is very delicate and quite offensive to some people. But ironically, it turned into a big joke and it started making conversations, turning into a meme. Some people actually made fun of me in all ways. They dramatized everything. And to me, that was a relief because it had initially been gotten lost in... interpretation, because there was a sense of perhaps this guy is fully anti-gay, that I'm an activist against homosexuality. Mm. I am not an activist, even though I detest it.
Because obviously we're in the UK. Both Sharon and I are gay. It's very strange to hear, because you've just got a very sensible sort of sympathetic voice saying stuff that to us is so like against our worldviews and our morals. So you say you don't like homosexuality, but do you think that there is obviously a struggle for Ugandan gay people that needs to be addressed, that people need to sort of have more sympathy and that they should be able to live their lives?
Mm. Well, that's a very delicate question. We need to be sympathetic to them and perhaps offer them counseling, because gay, or whatever you can call it, as a way of life, either adopted by misorientation or peer influence. So I believe it's a cultural issue.
So you believe that people choose to be gay?
Yes.
But given the fact that a lot of gay people are very artistic, do you not think the numbers would be a lot higher, because we'd have a great recruitment drive? We could get like lovely little pamphlets made up. Do you not think that there would be greater success for gay recruitment if that was true? Surely there would be more people.
Well, there would, but when you consider our cultural values, for instance, they do not create any space for gay lifestyles to thrive in Uganda.
We are
a strongly conservative culture society.
Do you think that, because I'm Kenyan, right, I'm East African, do you feel like homophobia is rooted or has its origins in colonization? Because I can only really speak for Kenya, but being gay has existed from the beginning of time, right? And it was accepted, it was a part of life. We had a tradition in my tribe where I'm from, Kikuyu, where women could marry women. What do you feel like pre-colonization, being gay in Uganda wouldn't have been an issue?
I don't think it's been a pre-colonization issue. Well, for years, for eternity, this subject has been thorny about homosexuality, for instance, in Uganda. It dates back to the 1800s. We read about it, but it's a matter that had been kept under wraps because we didn't want it's a moral aspect that we didn't want really to put at the forefront of discussions.
But isn't that morality imposed by a sort of why the Western colonization? Because lots of sort of anthropologists state that there were, as Sharon said, lots of openly gay tribes and sort of transgender, what we might describe now as transgender people. For example, in northern Uganda, there's the Langi people, and they had the Madoko Dako, which was a sort of effeminate male third gender. So when you say it's morality, isn't that morality imposed on by colonization?
I think calling for a third gender is very unrealistic. You're either male or female.
But it did exist in Uganda. The Madoka Dako in the Langi people was a third gender before the 1800s.
Self-imposed. There's never been anything like transmember or trans. These are creations of recent days. You're either male or female. You identify as male or female because religiously, physically, medically, you're either male or female.
Well, there are medical exceptions with intersex people.
Yeah.
Never mind the sort of the terminology of gender. But it's not necessarily like, I know people say it's like sort of a fad of the 2020s, but you spoke to Pepe Julian Onzima in 2012.
He's a very warm guy. I liked Guy.
Yes, yeah.
I think he's a guy, yes. Yes, he's a warm personality.
So that's interesting because obviously he's a transgender man, and you are quite... obviously, when Pastor Semper comes in with all the fruit and vegetables, it does go a bit crazy. But when you're talking to Pepe, it seems like you are genuinely trying to get it right. You say, you know, Mister, do I call you Mister? You're trying to understand the terminology. Mm. So although you are maybe morally opposed or religiously opposed, do you think there is an understanding to be reached together by openness and discussion?
I shudder when we make this an open discussion in a society where cultural values are deeply ingrained. It is a moral value that we ought to discuss maybe in closed doors. It's a bit absurd that today the country is engrossed in such a discussion. Hitherto, it wasn't anything that would be palatable for public discourse.
Well, I suppose as well, especially with like Ugandan politics, I've been reading a little bit about it and been checking out your Twitter feed. There is a lot going on that maybe LGBT identities aren't at the forefront of discussion. I know there's lots of democracy issues with Besigye, who's currently being tried in military court and stuff. I know you've changed your profile picture to support Kizza Besigye, who's actually, he opposed the anti-homosexuality bill, and Uganda is one of only seven countries in the world that has the death penalty for gay people. At the very least, surely these people don't deserve to die, even if you are morally opposed to their way of life.
I agree on that. I truly agree on that. I personally voiced my views against the LGBTQ Act. Legislate morals. We just need to guide morals.
Interesting. Do you think, because I know you're in Dubai at the moment and you went to see Ghaz Khan, a British comedian, at the Dubai Opera House. He's great, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Comedy is a great sort of tool for common ground and understanding. Do you think that there could ever be a gay comedian in Uganda?
Nah. would be stretching it too far. No.
Wow.
I don't think it would be a flop. If there was a concert of that kind, it would be a flop. We're not entertaining gay lifestyles in Uganda. And personally, I think that's the way to go. Well, if there is a moral deviance or a sexual deviance of any kind, we cannot really put it out at the forefront of... we would be glorifying immorality.
Interesting. Do you feel you glorify immorality in your act, Sharon?
Yeah, but that's mainly because of what I do, not because of who I am.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. Our deviance, personally, I won't speak for Sharon, but our deviance is not tied to our sexuality, but just purely because we are terrible, evil gays.
Evil gays,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But not because we are gay. There are, of course, moral gays as well. look, it's been very interesting to talk to you, Simon. I really do appreciate your time. Obviously, we are very... Thank you so much for joining us. We are.
It's really beautiful. I'm grateful that you called me out, and it's beautiful. Nice talking to you.
It's nice to have this discussion. And I suppose, look, you're famous for the line. I know you're asked to say it on Cameo every day, but I'd be remiss to not ask you to deliver the iconic question.
Please.
Why are you gay? Oh.
Thank you, Simon. Have a lovely rest of your day. And yeah, thank you for that discussion. It's been very interesting. Cheers.
Awesome.
Take care.
Cheers.
Bye bye.
Bye. Incredible.
Amazing.
Incredible.
I had no idea. I was very nervous going into that. I had no idea where we were going to go.
But also excited.
I'm glad I could do it with you.
I'm glad we did it together. Yeah. Yes. I feel like we've overcome something.
It's so bizarre. It's very weird just to sort of confront somebody who seemed very reasonable and just sort of like.
I know. Almost nice about it, but they're really stubborn about their views, which.
Yeah,
I guess fair enough.
Yeah, I'm glad we got him to say that, like, that we shouldn't kill gays at the very least. If we could take one sort of concession victory, yeah, it was. But he just wouldn't accept the history of gay Africans. Of
and a lot of people don't. And I feel like that's colonization at work, to be honest.
Yeah,
you know, like you said, bringing religion into it just becomes like a brick wall.
Yeah, because Uganda used to actually have a bisexual king. I know we say
God.
Like, oh, bisexual king, but no, like a literal king.
Really?
A ruler, yes. King Mwanga II took male and female lovers. Yeah. And he was pretty much the last pre-colonial king.
Oh my God. Ooh, CT. That's T. That just tells you what you need to know.
Yeah.
He was king.
He was king, yeah.
Oh, that's such a slay.
Big slay.
Big slay.
I should have asked Simon if he knew what slay meant. If we could have got Simon Cograndula to say big slay, that would have been the next big meme.
Call him back.
get him up, quick. All right. No, we will have another section to detense and just sort of take off the struggles of that interesting conversation. Let's head into a much lower stakes world, which is Facebook forums. Are you a Facebook dweller, Sharon?
I haven't for a while. I go back every now and then just to see what some of my old school friends are up to.
Yeah.
You know, like the old Dagenham drama. Someone left a bin in my kitchen and I'm pissed.
That's exactly the stuff we cover in this segment.
Yes,
we've been scrolling through Facebook posts to find the most unhinged.
Gorgeous.
And I actually found this one out in the wild. This is in my local town's Facebook.
It's just is this a real name?
This is this Mick and Jenny. It's a shared Facebook account. You know, they always... So it's Mick, then capital N, Jenny. Mick and Jenny, they're a shared Facebook account. Always commenting hateful stuff about trans people, even though they're literally a they/them account.
So
Mick has Mick or Jenny, who I don't know who's in charge of this account, has commented: should only be offence. This is in regards to littering. Mm-hmm. Should only be offence if done on purpose and left there. What about someone with arthritis in their fingers who accidentally drops the gloves and then picks it up? Is that offence? I mean, no, because they picked it up.
Like,
if so, it is disability discrimination. Each case should be treated on its merits.
That's insane.
What a pointless...
That is absolutely insane. People do that a lot now. They're like, what if I'm allergic to beans? Well, don't put the beans in the recipe.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the self-centering of people online is intolerable. But at the same time, I do kind of understand that they're just like, they just want to be heard. Mick and or Jenny just wanted to be heard.
This is not the platform.
But it's not the platform.
It's not the time or the place.
And I suppose it's better littering than like bigotry. Yeah. But still, it's, we should just get rid of all social media. I think that's my main takeaway.
Just for 2 years, reset.
A 2 year reset? That's a great idea.
Right?
A 2 year reset, and then we all have a collective vote on which platforms are allowed back.
Oh my God, MySpace, please.
MySpace
and LinkedIn, that's
so
it.
So Project 2028, 2027, is the reintroduction of social media after 2 year gap, preferably MySpace.
Yeah.
Great. We've solved it. We solved the world. Let's move on to our next post. This is Facebook Marketplace. I see these quite a lot.
Oh my God.
Grilled chicken with rice, £1. So it's just a homemade plate of rice and grilled chicken. Someone's just selling a meal on Facebook Marketplace.
Wait, so how would that... So you would go and they would give you the plate with the chicken and the rice on it? Like, would it be hot or would you have to go home and reheat it?
I don't know, actually. Maybe I should, as one day as a test, as a sort of experiment...
Oh my God, you have to.
Investigate. Would you buy food off Facebook Marketplace?
No!
Yeah, that is mad, right?
Absolutely insane. It's giving mums... you know, warning their children about Halloween candy because what if there's a razor blade in it? But this feels like a bit...
There's going to be razor blades in that rice. Yeah,
just
yeah.
A tiny bit.
And it is homemade rice as well, which is sort of ominous. What's the most... Would you have a cake off Marketplace?
Food is a tricky one with Facebook Marketplace because I feel like this is going to sound horrible. And I use Facebook Marketplace all the time, but there's a certain type of person that sells things on Facebook Marketplace. And it's just an interesting energy there. I don't know if I would put that food into my mouth.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't. Even on TikTok shops, sometimes you see people like making their brownies and it's just like,
What's happening?
Yeah.
To a shop.
Please go to a... Why? Let's all just get offline. Just for 2 years, let's get offline. Let's sell grilled chicken and rice at a restaurant with a hygiene rating. And you can sell, just go to a fucking boot sale and get rid of your wardrobe and stuff.
Chronically online behavior. Food?
Yes, and it's the generation that blame us for being chronically online.
Imagine.
They're the chronically online people.
They are.
40, 50, 60 year olds.
My mom started showing me, you know, those AI videos. And she's like, look, a shark is eating a lion. And I'm like, mother, please.
I love those ones. The ones that are like very religious and it's like a really bad AI Jesus in the mud.
A baby.
Yeah.
But the baby has like
and all the comments
legs.
Are like, amen, amen. Yeah. The baby has 17 legs, exactly.
Is this real? Oh my God, get off Facebook, please.
Yeah, please get off Facebook. At the very least, if we can't get rid of all social media, get off Facebook.
Just get off Facebook.
Yeah. And we end just with a button, as we always do. Has anyone dropped their pants in Asda car park? Don't worry, I handed the packet into customer services.
Amazing.
So yeah, head down to Asda customer services if you've lost your pants
just
recently.
Just any Asda in the country.
Yeah, just walk into your local Asda and say, do you have a pair of pants? No, not new from the shelf. Used, preferably. That's what we recommend. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. This has inspired me to get back on Facebook.
It's a real haven of... we didn't even get through half the posts we had prepared. Okay. So tune in next week for more on Pulse Nation. Okay. For now, we're going to head into a break. We'll be back with Finlay Christie right afterwards.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Why are you gay?
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Joining me and Sharon in the studio is the brilliant Finlay Christie. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so good. I'm glad it's good. Now you've had a Ugandan homophobe on, and now you've got someone who's big on the Ugandan gay scene for balance.
What would you recommend? Where would you hit up in Uganda for some gay sports?
If I start now trying to come up with the names of Ugandan gay clubs, I think I'd have to leave the studio.
You would have to leave England.
Not that I can't do it. I just don't know the tone yet of this show.
Okay, well, maybe at the end I'll ask you how comfortable you feel doing that.
Can we workshop it together? I feel like
together.
The three
I've
of
not
us,
been implicated in this.
The three of us together.
You are the person we need to approve all of our names.
Exactly,
to be honest,
why like, we are. Won't be doing it.
That's middle class white guys just being like, is this okay?
I was there when it happened. Yeah. It was horrible.
This is really backfired because I attempted to do that to you, and now I've been drawn into it. It's the awkwardness. Oh God.
I'm still while we're having this conversation, my mind is going. I'm trying to think of something. Everything's awful.
Do you know the capital of Uganda?
Kinshasa's Congo. Uganda. The capital of Uganda is. I should know this because my ex was there for 3 months. I have no idea.
Wow.
Kampala.
That's where she was.
Kampala.
Oh my God! Why did we say
there
that?
There we go. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
So that would be the. Yeah, it would be called Camp It would be cool. Well, that's just the name of the city. That's not really that.
No, it's not really a pun at all. It's, yeah.
Really, really camp Arla.
Oh my
really,
God.
Really camp Arla.
You guys go to really, really camp Arla later?
Yeah, it's a really cool underground scene. I've seen Carmen Grangela there actually a few times. I was going to, one of the questions I had prepared, because I was going to, oh, a lot of homophobic politicians end up being secretly gay.
Yes.
I was going to ask him if the Ugandan Prime Minister might be gay, but I didn't want to push him too much.
That would have, I think, started World War III.
Yeah, he would have been sent over the edge. This is broadly newsy. I mean, as relevant as you can get from 2012, Why Are You Gay?
but he's come back.
He has.
He has. He's really sort of making a name for himself now.
Yeah, a lot of stars from... I mean, do you know who else has come back? You know the guy that got hit in the face and said, I can't believe you've done this?
Yeah.
He's come back as
what?
Well.
Yeah.
Oh. We've got to get him on.
Because people who went viral back in 2012, now it's become like a monetizable thing, and they didn't know back then.
Oh. Mm.
And it's like they've gone, why the hell did I get a normal job?
I get it.
When I could have just...
Put these on T-shirts.
Yeah, literally for 20 years. Like,
yeah.
Run with this one thing.
That's a really good point, because we had Jackie Weaver on at the first episode, and she's like got a book and a podcast, and she... Absolutely capitalising that fame. Mm. Last week we had Miles Mitchell he was the winner of the Timothée Chalamet lookalike. Mm. And again, he's capitalised on this fame. He's doing adverts, he's making money. Mm. But yeah, all these people have missed out, all these memes from 2012, missing out on the big bucks.
Everyone wants to be a meme.
Everyone wants to be a meme. Well, you're quite a viral person. Your TikToks and your reels go massive. Tens of millions. Would you consider yourself a meme?
Do you know, I don't think there's one. It's not like a kind of say the line Bart situation, like with Why Are You Gay, where people are like, do the one thing that I know you from.
Yeah.
Apart from the, there's this one video I do where I pretend it's like films set in the Middle East. And I start off by going, American character, welcome to Pakistan. And people go, oh, American character. Other than that, it's not like...
What an interesting thing for people to latch onto.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not a funny... I mean, the video is funny.
The video is, it's very funny. I've seen it.
Itself. Do you have that? Do either of you have like a meme thing that you're associated with?
No, I just get like constantly people comment calling me Quentin Tarantino.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Just
why?
Because I've got a terrible hairline. It's why I'm wearing a cap. You're wearing it for fashion. I'm wearing it for protection.
You do not look
no,
like
I, listen, I'm going back as well.
Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's but thankfully now it's cool to have a bit of a fringe.
Yeah, so you can cover it up.
But if I pull it back, it's
okay, well, that's reassuring.
Mm.
Do you think bold... Oh, sorry. I was just like, let me get the female perspective on this and then realise that you have no interest in...
I can look at a man and be like, yeah.
Hey,
yeah,
hey,
in another lifetime.
Hey, you've had your. I mean,
you
back in the day.
Better shut up.
Back
you, how dare you?
Sharon,
I am a good Christian woman.
Well,
if you say anything,
okay, no,
because I can draw you out too.
Listen, say whatever you want about me, because it was nice. Nothing that I wouldn't say myself.
Don't lie. What? I mean, there are some things I could pull out that you'd be like, whoa, ooh, it's getting personal.
Okay, well then I'll start.
Okay, great.
I'm just going to sit back and watch. No names.
No. To be honest, there's only one name that I could that I could name.
Mouth it to me.
No, I'm not going to. Well, no.
You got halfway through mouthing
right?
the word.
Well, it's just a comedian that I know
okay,
very
yeah, no,
well.
Okay, no.
the career flashing
yeah.
before your
no,
eyes.
No. Ooh.
But
ooh.
But you had a phase before you realized.
Yeah, it took me a while to come out.
Yeah, but where you, I mean, in your own words, dicks were flying at your face.
Dicks were flying?
Wow!
And I remember you said that you were like, oh yeah, I used to be straight, dicks were just flying at my face back in the day. And then Rhys James came on after you and went, it's great to see Sharon again, haven't seen her since she was straight. And it was dead silent because people are like, we thought you were a nice comedian, Rhys. We've seen you on Mock the Week making topical jokes. Why are you claiming that you've been in an orgy with Sharon? This lovely young comic. But, yeah.
Wow. That's got real personal, real.
It really has. Well, talking of topical jokes and to de-escalate the tension in this room, I thought Simon was going to be the problem, but no, Finlay, you're the problematic
you
one,
are.
It turns out. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Bring back
but
the homophobe.
Why are you both gay? I mean, let's get into it.
It's a very good question. I have literally no answer. Just like
because
men
exist.
Yeah. Why are you straight?
Because women are just beautiful.
Right?
Aren't they?
Great.
Like, how can you not?
They're just amazing.
Yeah, you love women.
I really
you
do.
You love women.
I
feel
really
like you
do.
Fool people with like your innocent, sweet look, but I,
that's a perfect
gallus.
Physical description of you.
You're, deep down, you're a gallus.
Then we'll giggle.
I honestly think I Christian Bale it. Like, I'm a different. Depends who I'm trying to woo. I'll just completely change my personality.
That you don't. That doesn't sound sociopathic to you.
No, it does. It does.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's not. Yeah, I mean,
what's your most winning wooing personality? What's your go-to with women?
Do you know what? Oh, do you know what's really bad? I think this is a new thing. This is a very Gen Z 2025 thing. What we're doing now, we're not doing toxic masculinity. That's gone a bit out of fashion. Mm-hmm. Now we're doing weaponizing vulnerability.
Weaponized vulnerability. I like this. This is the start of a new trend.
This is what we're doing now. So now I'm talking to a guy. I'm telling her, you know. Why am I doing comedy? I don't know. I think I just have a lot of pain and stuff, and I just feel like you can see that, and I just feel like you understand me on a level that, like, you know, no one ever has before.
Oh my god, I can't even look at you
and that works.
No, and then they say, it doesn't work. They say, get the hell out of my house. I don't even know how you got in here.
Well, that's a classic pullback, really. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Now people will be listening going, oh yeah, he's kicked off now.
He's got the comedy chops.
There's a joke.
I'll go see him on tour. Are you touring Fringing this year?
I'm not. I wanted to see you guys.
Oh, that's very sweet.
And it's right around the corner from my house.
Oh, great. That's really ideal. Yeah. Well, look, this is broadly newsy. Are you a newsy person? Do you follow the headlines?
No, not at all. I think there's something going on in the Middle East apart from that.
Yeah, something. I heard something about that. Rumblings of, I don't know. Yeah, I don't really pay attention.
Definitely rumblings, yeah.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well, let's move on to our debate. So cool. Normally I'll get you to fill in the blanks of headlines, but we got so sort of in the depths of scandal that we're going to skip straight to our debate now.
Sure.
This is from a piece in The Independent just on Monday from Ellie Harrison. Can you date someone your friends don't like? Now, we've obviously got into a bit of your dating history as the pair of you. Oh. But this is an article saying that friendship group approval is now more important than family approval. Could you date someone your friend group didn't like?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd be more likely to date them if my friends and family didn't like them.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
You are so toxic.
Is there something in the thrill of it for you? That's just like sort of forbidden fruit?
Yeah, I think if my friends like all immediately like them, I would be like, I would assume that they were just boring. I don't know.
What?
Would you think you have boring friends?
Right.
No. I don't think my closest friend is my cousin and his group of friends, and I don't think they've ever liked anyone that I've dated, and vice versa.
Why though? Is it a clash of personalities?
Yeah, definitely.
So you can only date someone who you know your cousin's not gonna like.
Yeah, because my cousin's like awful.
Oh my gosh.
I see. So the problem isn't the people you're dating; it's your friends.
Yeah, I see. That's what I should have said.
Oh.
Yeah. If my friends get on with them, that means
that's a warning sign.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Are you the opposite, Sharon? Do you want your friendship, relationship, integration?
Yes, it has. Yeah. Like, they have to be best friends too.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It is.
What polar opposites.
I love my friends and I really value their opinion. And if I'm bringing home a babes, yeah, I want my best friend to be like, that's the woman you're going to marry.
You had a situation, didn't you, where you were living with...
Oh my God.
Airing all of Sharon's.
Something to upset you recently.
No. Because let's talk about this. Like,
let's talk about this. Yeah.
A situation where, but this is very relevant to that time where you were living with someone, right? And you really didn't get on with their friends, or was it they didn't get on with your friends?
Oh yeah, and I think that's
Is that where
it makes it so much difficult? No, I just think in general, like, if you're someone who really values your friendship group and you spend a lot of time with them, why wouldn't you're bringing a partner into it? Why wouldn't you want everyone to get along? It's just gonna be awkward if you're having to do the whole, see, guys, so like, yeah, they work in finance, and yeah, like, so it just makes things long and complicated, I think.
I think this is part of my kind of segmentation of personalities where I like switch modes and like.
So this really has turned into a bit of a... We're just absolutely getting into the therapy of your life.
I'm a Gemini.
Are you actually a Gemini?
Yeah.
That's very funny.
Why we don't get along.
What are you?
Sagittarius, too fiery.
But they're not. But they're supposed to not be good either, right?
What?
Well, not good people.
Yeah, but they're all.
We've already found out you are immoral from Simon Kegrangeli.
Yeah.
Terrible, horrible people.
Yeah, listen, I may manipulate women, but at least I'm not gay.
You are gay.
Whoa. He's still here. No, I've got hotkeys.
Oh,
it's very fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you to turn like 40.
Oh my goodness. That was said, but obviously, again, this radio medium,
yeah.
the malicious
Spike.
Level.
No.
The way you're just like, I can't wait. You're like Mr. Burns, sort of your fingers to sort of like, I can't wait for you to turn 40.
Love.
How old are you, Finlay?
I'm 20.
20.
I'm 25.
25. I'm 25 as well.
Yeah.
Children.
But Sharon, I'm not going to turn 40.
Not going to turn 40.
I'm
Peter Pan.
27. I'm going out.
I like that you went for Peter Pan and you went for kill myself at 27.
I'm not going to make it to 40.
Yes, you will.
I can't imagine 40 personally.
I'm not.
But not guys.
Because
of the state of the world, it's like I can't even imagine like what's going to happen in 5 years. Never
Jesus
mind.
Jesus Christ, yeah. You guys.
And you. I mean, how many? Are you still vaping?
Jesus. I'm trying.
Really?
Listen, I think as an adult, you have to have a vice, right? And I could have gone for a worse vice. That's what I'm going to say. I could be doing heroin right now.
I don't really think you
heroin doesn't give you popcorn.
Everyone has a vice, and you guys are lying if you're saying you don't have a vice. I know you have vices, Finlay.
I swap them out. I try. You can't say which
you
one.
You swap them out?
Well, I mean...
What's your current vice?
I probably can't talk about it. I can talk about it. Diazepam is my vice at the moment.
That is insane.
Like pharmaceutical benzodiazepines.
Damn.
They are delicious.
Delicious.
Delicious. I pop them like jelly beans. They're amazing.
Oh my god! And you're coming on to me for vaping.
That is a bit of a double standard.
Diazepam is worth it. Vaping makes you wake up. I used to vape. You wake up in the morning, your mouth is all dry. You're tired. You know, you think, what are they? You know, what are the Chinese? Bring the Chinese into it. But what?
Oh, you have now.
Well, yeah, but what are they putting in it? Vaping is like an unknown.
Mm-hmm. But here's a question.
Like,
does diazepam taste like watermelon and raspberry?
If it did, I'd be dead. If it did? Yeah, wow. Okay. Oh, it's the best, though.
Like, how do you get it?
I can give you a number.
I thought it was like an over-the-counter...
I could probably get a prescription for it, yeah.
But you'd have to, like, proper, like, put on a show, right?
Well, I'd have to be, like... I wouldn't have to lie. I'd be, like, I'm addicted to... I'd be, like...
Scratching your arm.
Yeah.
You got any diazepam?
No, but I have phases. The thing is, I take it for flying. And then I maybe take it after I've got off the plane. And then the day after. Do you know what I mean? Like, I used to get it for flying.
You never know when you're going to fly, so you might as well have it all the time.
Exactly.
You can get on a flight any time. You never know.
Boy, does it make you fly.
Well, here at the Pulse of the Nation, and indeed Fubar Radio, we support diazepam use, recreational. Do you know what? Every week I pretend that Fubar Radio supports some sort of stance that they definitely don't. But I've never been told off for it yet. So there you
Incredible.
Go.
Incredible.
Sorry?
Incredible.
Oh, incredible. Thank you very much. Yeah. You can really act with impunity when you're sort of a middle-class, privately educated white boy. Just go for whatever. although I must stress, only privately educated between the ages of 6 and 9, which, yes, is a waste.
Absolutely.
Look, thank you so much both for joining me. Diazepam, vaping, whatever your vice, I hope you enjoy it and live way past 27. That's my hope for you, Finlay. And you as well, Sharon, but I think you're on the right path anyway.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to live the longest out of all of us?
Oh, out of all three of us?
Yeah.
Probably Sharon. I mean, both of us have said we can't imagine 40. I am definitely pre-diabetic and you're just popping recreational.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's you, Sharon.
I'll take it.
You have to continue our legacy.
I won't.
Well, there we go. Well, all that I'll have left is this radio show, and I'm glad at least I could share it with you two. Look, Sharon, you are at the Pleasance Theatre, the Pleasance, next door, 27th of March. Tickets from your Instagram.
Yes.
Sharon1Joey _. Finlay, you got a full special on YouTube, OK Zuma.
Yeah.
That's a Finlay Christie comedy on YouTube.
Yeah, and I'll be filming a new special at some point soon, and that'll be somewhere, keep a lookout, yeah.
Keep a lookout at Finlay Comedy on Instagram, Finlay Christie Comedy on YouTube. Yeah, go support Sharon and Finlay. They're both fantastic comedians, the best of the rising crop. Do go check them out. You can support this show at my Instagram page, at Stand Up Andrew, or at FUBAR Radio. Thank you to Sanjay Arif for his help with the show this week, to my brilliant producer, Kieran. And we are going to see you next time. We're here every week. Pulse of the Nation. Take care.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.